Whoever you are, wherever you come from, whomever you love, we welcome you. My name's Carolyn Schlemmer. I'm one of Kent UU's worship associates. We have also participating in service our RE director, Lily Rappaport, along with Hal Walker, our music director, with some help from worship associate Elaine Bowen and a few other people named in the order of service. Our chalice lighting today will be led by the Penny family. But as I said a couple months ago, I love this church because people cut each other slack. Thank you.
We light this chalice to find inner peace, love for each other, and faith in ourselves. We strive to be welcoming to whoever we meet and kind to all living creatures. So gather around this light of hope as we share this time together.
It's so easy to dream of the days gone by. It's a hard thing to think of the times to come. But the grace to accept every moment as a gift is a gift that is given to some.
By Lori Hossa Anderson.
You think you know everything about Thanksgiving. How Native Americans saved the pilgrims from starving. How the pilgrims held a big feast to celebrate and say thank you. They had turkey, pumpkin pie, cranberries, the works. Well, listen up. I have a newsflash.
Thank you. we almost lost Thanksgiving. Didn't know that, did you? Well, it's true. Way, way back, when skirts were long and hats were tall, Thanksgiving was fading away. Sure, the folks up in New England celebrated it. They'd roast a turkey and invite the relatives when the harvest came in. But not in the South, not in the West, not even in the Middle Atlantic states. More and more, people ignored the holiday.
Thanksgiving was in trouble. It needed a superhero! No, sorry, not that kind. It needed a real superhero, someone bold and brave and stubborn and smart. Thanksgiving needed Sarah Hale.
Now, I know what you're thinking. She doesn't look like a superhero. She looks like a dainty little lady. Never underestimate dainty little ladies. Sarah Hale was every inch a superhero. Not only did she fight for Thanksgiving, she fought for playgrounds, for kids, school for girls, and historical monuments for everyone. She argued against spanking, pie for breakfast, dull stories, corsets and bloomers and bustles, and very serious things, like slavery.
And as if that weren't enough, she raised five children, wrote poetry, children's books, novels, and biographies. She was the first female magazine editor in America. She published great American authors like Henry Wadsworth Longfellow and Edgar Allan Poe, and she composed Mary Had a Little Lamb.
How did she do all of these things? Well, she was bold, brave, stubborn, and smart.
And Sarah Hale had a secret weapon, a pen.
Our wisdom words this morning are from UU Minister Barbara J. Peskin. May the glory of the passing away of autumn lie about us, fresh gold for a time. And when the dark comes and the cold, may we remember how today we stand in glory, how we walk in bounty, heaped upon earth's dark carpet, how we move knee-deep in abundance, flung against night's winter curtain. We are thankful for its coming and for its passing. Let it be. And now let us enter into a moment of silence, setting aside that which lies in your hands and lies in your heart, being open to let whatever you find here flow in and fill your heart. Spirit of life and love, we come together this day in this holy place filled with love and all that we find sacred and holy. We are entering a six-week time of many changes, not only in our weather, but changes in how we go about our days. Somehow they become busier, sometimes fraught with anxiety and concerns. and worry. Let us remember that this time, this week coming, it is not about the meal. It is not about the football game. It is not about the inundation of sales flyers. It is not about shopping. It is about blessing. It is reflection upon those blessings that are in our lives, reflecting upon them and how we can share our blessings with those who need them most. That is the spirit of Thanksgiving. May it be so for you and for those upon whom you bestow blessing. Amen. And may it be so.
A secret weapon, a pen.
When Sarah saw something she didn't like, she picked up her pen and wrote about it. She wrote letters. She wrote articles. She wrote and wrote and wrote until she persuaded people to make the world a better place.
Nothing stopped Sarah. Sarah Hale loved Thanksgiving. She wanted the whole country to celebrate it on the same day. When folks started to ignore Thanksgiving, well, that just curdled her gravy.
She picked up her pen. Sarah wrote letters, thousands of letters, asking politicians to make Thanksgiving a national holiday. She wrote magazine articles, asking her readers for help. The women of America listened. They put down their babies, their hoes, their skillets, and their washing. They picked up their pens and they wrote. When the letters arrived, the politicians listened as well. One by one, the states officially made Thanksgiving a holiday. But that wasn't good enough. Sarah Hale wanted the whole country to celebrate together, like a family.
She went to the top. Sarah wrote to the president himself, Zachary Taylor. Did that stop Sarah? No. She waited to the next election and wrote the new president, Millard Fillmore. He said,
no.
Two.
Did that stop Sarah? No. Because she was bold, brave, stubborn, and smart. Sarah wrote to the next president, Franklin Pierce.
Wouldn't a national day of Thanksgiving be wonderful?
No.
Pierce grumped.
No.
Sarah penned an elegant letter to President James Buchanan. She gave all the reasons why America would be better off if everyone gathered on the fourth Thursday in November to give thanks. President Buchanan disagreed.
There's too much going on.
Sarah felt like the stuffing had been kicked out of her. Everything was going wrong.
Everything was going wrong. America was at war, the North against the South. States that had promised to celebrate Thanksgiving changed their minds. The country was falling apart. It was a bleak and scary time.
Nevertheless, she persisted. Nothing could stop Sarah. Superheroes work the hardest when things get tough. She picked up her mighty pen and wrote another letter, this time to President Abraham Lincoln.
America needs Thanksgiving now more than ever. A holiday won't stop the war, but it can help bring the country together.
She waited, and she waited, and she waited, and then Lincoln said,
yes, yes.
In 1863, President Lincoln made Thanksgiving a national holiday, a day for all Americans to give thanks together. It took Sarah Hale only 38 years, thousands of letters, and countless bottles of ink. But she did it. Nothing could stop Sarah, that bold, brave, stubborn, and smart lady saved Thanksgiving for all of us.
Thank you, Sarah.
Let everyone who has breath praise the Lord God. Come before her with gladness and singing. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into her courts with joy. In the wilderness from boulders freely came water. Manna came each morning from the sky. Was it a miracle or just the way that our Father provides for us each moment all that we need. So gather all the offerings into the storehouse and test me now, says the God of love, if I won't open unto you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing too big to receive. Yes, I'll pour you out a blessing too big to receive. Let everyone who has breath praise your God. Come before her with gladness and singing. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And into her courts with joy. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving.
My reflection today is about tradition and change, keeping it real. You may have noticed the words for "we gather together" are not the traditional words heard in most Protestant churches. The original words come from a Dutch hymn written about 1600 to celebrate a victory over the Spanish. In this tradition, God is clearly a leader in battle, a Protestant God who delivered them from the wicked, oppressing Catholic Spanish. There's no question, suggests the Dutch version, that this is our Protestant God, not their Catholic God. In tone, the words make me think of the kind of prayer that might be given in the SMU locker room if Southern Methodist football team actually beat Notre Dame. The vision of a warrior God, one who favors my team over yours, is not authentic to me. One reason I enjoy being UU is that thoughtful, reasoned change is welcome. But any change in tradition always brings out some complainers. One hymn expert wrote, "It bugs the hell out of me when in the hymnal," that's our UU gray hymnal, singing the living tradition, "changes traditional hymns. Actually, I can't say I mind the way they've changed We Gather Together, because they've rewritten the entire song, and I think they did a pretty good job of it. But," he goes on, "I found I can't use singing the living tradition as a reliable resource for authentic texts of hymns, because it has too many songs that have been altered, and you can never be sure of getting the authentic text." Well, I think the writer does understand that if you need the original text, the original thought, the UU sources are not what you need. We don't try to be authentic in the sense of correct and exactly like the original, because we evolve. Authentic doesn't always mean exactly like the original. To me, authentic means emotionally appropriate, significant, purposive, responsible, inner created, not subject to superficial external factors. Authentic. What makes an authentic Thanksgiving for you? Do you or your family rebel against change? My kids and grandkids are all for change. They're liberal, progressive, except when it comes to special occasions. Then they become arch conservatives. They want things to be the way they've always been, especially regarding what you eat and what you do. What would happen if you tried to change your Thanksgiving menu? Would there be revolt? Could happen. Or in some families, what if you changed the time of Thanksgiving meal to the time of kickoff for the big game? Actually, did you know college football on Thanksgiving is a tradition older than any of us? The very first intercollegiate football championship was held on Thanksgiving Day in 1876. So if you're a football fan and anybody complains, 1876, first intercollegiate football championship. It's a tradition. These days, I am more often a guest at someone else's house than host, and that was hard for a while because I kind of like the role of matriarch. But I've learned to expand my definition of family and my role in it. When I lived in San Diego, Sam and I were made welcome at Thanksgiving with, wait for this, the home of my second husband's first wife's stepdaughter. And we were part of the family. This year, I'll be part of a crowd at my sister's, along with my nephew-in-law's mother's cousin, who's a charming woman. I really like her. She's come before. Nearly always, someone from outside the U.S. is invited, too. International students or faculty, other people that we just happen to meet who don't know American Thanksgiving, all are invited to step inside the circle of kinship. I've watched families learn to adapt as in-laws, friends, and other connections join the celebration, finding neat workarounds that suit people's needs and preferences. You put marshmallows on half of the sweet potatoes and not on the other half. That's not rocket science. Don't put walnuts in the cranberry sauce because there are a couple nut allergies. You just add dishes when the family grows to include people who expect green bean casserole on the Thanksgiving table, or macaroni and cheese, which in some families is a tradition. It's possible to make or invite people to bring stuffing that's gluten-free, if that's what they choose, or find a way to make non-lactose pumpkin pie, or just offer apple pie as another choice. Our large extended family has divergent expectations for cranberry sauce. The jellied with cranberries, the jellied without cranberries. The stuff ground up raw with orange, the kind cooked. It turned out people were asked to bring their own special kind because, you know, you got to be realistic. One famous Thanksgiving, we had five different versions and everyone was happy. We even had Susan Stamberg's horseradish cranberries. Do you remember hearing about that if you listened to NPR? It was awful. With so much food, even our vegetarians can pick and choose, and they're happy too. Things do change, though. Life changes. That cuddly three-year-old from a few years ago is now 11 and no more cuddles. Beloved faces around the table change, and some are missing. My favorite Thanksgiving story involves rutabaga. My grandfather loved it, though no one else did. It took my sister and me 4 years after he died to realize that no one ever took a spoonful of the rutabaga after Gramps was gone. But we adapted. We didn't have rutabaga the next year. Well, things do evolve and change, and sometimes our first reaction is, I don't like it that way. I found that the better way is to look deeper, as did the authors of Singing the Living Tradition. What really matters in We Gather Together is, well, us gathering together. In customs as in hymns, authentic doesn't always mean exactly like the original. It can mean true to oneself, in good faith, in harmony with the essence of something, not just the superficial details. In other words, to be authentic means keeping it real. Real Thanksgiving involves being together, loving others as much as we're able, celebrating the harvest with a feast. And even when I'm offered oyster stuffing, I will keep the love and goodwill in my heart real. May it be so. For all who seek God, may God go with you. For all who embrace life, may life return your affection. For all who seek a right path, may a way be found, and the courage to take it step by step as you go into the world in peace.